All right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I am one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined as always is
Matty Juice. What is up, Tommy? How are you, man? It's good to see you. You're back from your trip. I'm going to keep talking like this the whole podcast.
I am back from my trip. It was a pretty good time. I just got back. You know, we got a great episode for you all. I was not able to play the game this past weekend because I was at U.S. Nationals for Flesh and Blood, the trading card game, and Matt played Questmaster, so we're going to be talking about that game, which does seem very sweet.
One of those sounds better than the other, you know. I was at U.S. Nationals, and Matt played Questmaster this weekend.
But I didn't win U.S. Nationals.
True. Yeah. That would have been wild. That would have been the best episode we've had yet. If, like, we have the winner of Flesh and Blood U.S. Nationals next time, though.
Next year, we'll send it back. But it's going to be a good episode. It's an interesting game. I haven't seen a lot of it. We've talked about it on the show, but I'm excited to learn about it today by getting Matthew's review. But before we do that, let's catch up. How was your weekend?
Yeah, it was good overall. Let's see, like Saturday. Didn't do a lot. My parents were supposed to go see Stevie Nicks. So originally we were planning to hang out with my dad because Father's Day was on Sunday. We were going to plan to hang out with him on Saturday because we were doing a bunch of stuff. We were going to, like, my in-laws family on Sunday. But they were going to see Stevie Nicks. And what actually happened was, for those of you who follow Stevie Nicks, is the show got canceled, like, right as the doors opened, because one of the band members had to get, like, airlifted out of the arena and was, like, sick or something or hurt, one or the other. But this is the second time that they've tried to see Stevie Nicks. The first time they both got sick, couldn't go see her. This time, you know, I mean, it's just not meant to be, I guess, for them to see it. Or, you know, who knows what's going to happen next. You know, next time they go see Stevie Nicks, it's going to be some other thing happens, you know. Who knows? But anyway, so that was their weekend. But basically I didn't do too much on Saturday because we were planning on doing stuff with them. But they were actually out in Hershey, which I know you're familiar with, the Hershey, Pennsylvania area. Shout out Hershey, Hershey Park. Then on Sunday we went to my wife's family's house up in, like, Staten Island area, which is fun. A ton of traffic, man, on Father's Day. I don't know what people are doing, like, visiting their dads. It's just like, can you just get off the road? You know, it took like an hour and a half to get there. It was a good time, you know, had some good food. Just came home and chilled and was planning some videos, doing some YouTube stuff, and then also playing some Questmaster. So, yeah, it was a pretty good low-key weekend with a lot to do. But I know your weekend was definitely more action-packed, so excited to hear about that.
Yeah, well, first of all, I haven't heard the words fun and Staten Island in the same sentence, maybe ever.
That's the first time I've said it, probably.
My weekend was busy. I headed out to Minneapolis for the Flesh and Blood U.S. Nationals. Got there Thursday, met up with some teammates. We went to Surly Brewing Company. Very good beer. There we get a little bit of it here in Jersey, or I don't know if we do anymore. Didn't really sell well outside of, like, the Midwest, but that was cool. And then, you know, I kind of, like, called it early that night because, you know, they were going to the Twins game, which was actually Prince night, which I would assume every night is Prince night in Minnesota because that's just, you know, their most famous person. But, you know, didn't do that. Called it early, woke up, played Nationals, day two'd somehow. First time day two-ing. So, you know, I had the worst possible record to make day two. So a lot of people would normally say, you know what? You're probably better off dropping and playing the main, like, open tournament for everyone that weekend. And I said, you know what? I saw some of the people who were dropping, and they were some of the best players in the world. I was like, I don't want to play them tomorrow, so I'll just stick here with the Nationals. I have a shot at least making some money. Ended at 8-6 on the weekend. Pretty good for my first, serious outing at Nationals. I went 2 years ago. Definitely a lot worse of a player then. So, and I was, I woke up the morning of that last Nationals. Went for like a jog at the Airbnb. This was down in Charlotte, and I must have blanked and didn't drink water for a couple of days. And I was like, man, I'm not feeling so great. I'm jogging. I get back to the Airbnb and get ready to take a shower, and I go to pee. It was just all blood, and I was just like, oh my God.
Just blanked on drinking water for a couple of days, it happens, but
it happens. So I started chugging water and and went 3-4 that day, which wasn't good enough to make it to day two. But hey, listen, this weekend was a lot of fun. Got to hang out with friend Mark Johnson, aka Mo Boggsley. He's a freaking hilarious dude to hang out with. That was a lot of fun. And then on Sunday, still hung around the place, went to Fogo de Chao. If you've ever been there, it's the Brazilian steakhouse.
What'd you call me?
Watch your profanity. They just bring out unlimited meat, which is like fine. I like meat. I'm not like a lot of meat. I'm so happy. Yeah. And I'm not really eating beef except for the Juicy Lucy that I did have yesterday as of us recording. But the chicken and stuff was good. So, and then the sausages they brung out, they were tasty. So yesterday, check out my hotel. I have a late flight, got a lot of time to kill. All right. Well, I'll go to Matt's Bar, home of the Juicy Lucy. Though I guess it's two bars that argue over who is the original Juicy Lucy originator. It's the 5-8 Grill, Matt's Bar.
Matt Juice, Matty Juice. Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy?
Amazing.
That's so nuts. And I went there, and I got to say, everything about this place was just right up my alley, right? Corner bar in like a neighborhood. Look, fuck, old as shit. Yeah. Stained, like the whole side of the building stained. You walk in, wood paneling, just old school, like beer, like POS all over the walls and stuff like that. And then like a lot of the pictures of like newspaper articles, and it's just a single bar. And then they have booths and stuff like that, but they're cooking the Juicy Lucy behind the bar. There's no kitchen. It's just right there, the griddle. And you sit down at the bar. I had a Hams, which is like a Midwestern premium, like kind of light beer. It was delicious. And I ordered the Juicy Lucy. And I'll be honest with you, I liked it. I don't think it exceeded expectations, but it certainly wasn't bad. Like, I felt like I sat next to somebody who was living in Minneapolis, but was originally from Michigan. And he's like, I think it's kind of overrated. And I was like, I don't know. I think it's properly rated, right? I think like it's like a $10 burger that's pretty good, right? And like, it's hard to find like a $10. I mean, like Five Guys usually ends up being more than $10.
Oh yeah, right. And just explain to the listeners like what is a Juicy Lucy?
Juicy Lucy is basically like a double patty, but like they put like a block of cheese or like a little square cheese in between the patties, and they cook it. So when you bite, it just oozes out cheese. Yeah. They tell you
right in the back of the throat, just like
yeah. But they, I was in Minneapolis all weekend. I didn't get a lot of the accent, right? Because I was mostly with people that were playing card games. But like, even at the places I went to dinner, not a lot of accents. Walk in there. Middle-aged blonde woman. Oh, you betcha. Like right away. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. And she's like, make sure you take small bites. And then I was like, all right. I ordered a second one right after. I was like, that was pretty damn good.
Nice. Pretty damn good. What size are we looking at here? Is it like White Castle size or normal just, burger?
It's like a classic probably the patty's thick, right? Yeah. Because it's two patties with some cheese in the middle. But like in terms of circumference, maybe like a McDonald's burger, okay. I guess. Yeah. And you know, whatever. I was like, I'm probably not gonna have dinner at the airport, so I was like, I'll just load up. And the fries were really good too, like shoestring fries, just like really good. So shout out Juicy Lucy. Then I went to the Mall of America to hang out for a little bit. That place sucked, but the aquarium, I mean, it was all right. It was just a huge mall. That's basically all it was. But it did have an aquarium in it that I spent way too much money to go walk around for like 30 minutes. But I do like seeing some sea creatures. So that was that was neat. But that was my weekend. Now I'm back and I'm back in you know, gamer mode, you know?
Yeah. Did you rent a car when you were out there, or are you taking public transport?
No, I Ubered to, like, so my hotel was like right by the convention center and right downtown. So I didn't really need to Uber much more than that. And then I Ubered out to Matt's Bar and then Mall of America. And then I took the train from Mall of America. Mall of America goes straight to the airport. So
nice.
Worked out.
Cool. Yeah.
But yeah. Now we're back.
Minnesota.
And we're juicing.
We are.
We're juicing loosen.
The we're juice is loose. And juicy.
Because we got a great episode. And you know what? The greatest thing about this episode is we usually do news.
Yeah.
And we have some actual new news. We have Discord.
Oh my God.
You should check it out. It's in the show notes. Please check it out. The Fresh Juice Discord. It's a great place to hang out. But we
And there's a picture of the Juicy Lucy in the Discord. So if you want to see what Tommy's been describing, it's in there and it looks good.
It did. Yeah, it was good. And surprisingly, I got an okay picture. It was very dark in there. You know, it's like a dive basically. So it was good. So check it out. Hashtag food picks channel in the Juice Loose, or not the Juice, Fresh Juice Discord.
Juice
anyway.
Loose.
The juice is loose.
Say that, yeah.
Juice is loose for the final time these days.
Yes.
But what's going on? More game studios shutting down? Is this true?
Yeah, yeah. So unfortunately, and the kind of the reason we're bringing this up too is because we reviewed one of their games, but Galvanic Studios or Galvanic Games has announced their closure. They are the developers of Wizard with a Gun. Which we gave a decent rating. I think that was the only game that they had actually made. But unfortunately, you know, I believe they were a Devolver funded studio, and they just basically said Wizard with a Gun did not, didn't make enough money for them to stay open. So they had to make, you know, the tough decision to close down the studio, which, you know, you hate to see. I mean, I know it's been a tough year for game developers, you know, and game studios across the board. But really with like Wizard with a Gun, you know, I thought, you know, it fit perfectly. It was a well-made game, right? It was fit perfectly into like the Devolver kind of portfolio. I think it showed a lot of talent from these developers, even though we weren't personally like certified Fresh Juice level kind of crazy about it. You know, I still think it had promise, and I was excited to see kind of what else this studio would do. But unfortunately, yes, they are kind of shutting down. And yeah, just sucks to see overall, you know, another studio closure, especially one that is related to the show that we, you know, we talked about. We talked about Galvanic Games, looked into them, you know, in previous episodes. So it's just saw this pop up and I was just like, oh, this is just like, it just hits a little bit closer to home, you know, for some reason. But yeah, just sucks to see.
Yeah, it is a shame because, you know, Wizard with a Gun, obviously we didn't give the best review to, right? You know, it just wasn't, it was so close, you know, had a lot of great things. We talk about the soundtrack pretty often. But the reality is, I think the IP of the Wizard with a Gun was probably something that I would have hoped to have seen more of, you know, in maybe different kind of genres, right? Like I think you could you could take that aesthetic with the really cool music and like that really awesome vibe they created and did some other stuff. I mean, like hell, like a tower defense or something like that would have been pretty neat. But I guess like when you're it seems to be like, you know, especially with how they toured like the convention circuit and like the big kind of pieces that they did at those conventions was that they were kind of trying to aim at the high profile stuff, right? Like the Devolver, you know, kind of esque like culture that they created. So it's kind of hard to compete at that level. So like when you try to, you have to spend a lot of money, and if the money doesn't come in, it's a bet that didn't pan out. So it's a shame to see, but hopefully that, you know, people from there kind of end up elsewhere, and, you know, we see some cool stuff come down the road from them. But I see this also, you posted an indie game Mario Kart.
Yes. So this is something that I don't think I was trying to look into it. I found it on Twitter. I don't think it has an actual name yet. Shout out to Zoro Arts on Twitter, Zoro Arts, because they said that they started this project 3 weeks ago and they already have a lineup of some interesting indie characters that they're going to be having in Mario Kart. And I know we talked about Framemakers in the past before, right? Of kind of being the indie game Super Smash Brothers. And so it's interesting to me that, you know, we're taking Mario Kart, a game that easily, you know, has been copied a few times with different types of characters from different, you know, gaming publishers and things like that. But indie is very interesting because it kind of opens up the gates, right, for so many different characters. And in this particular screenshot that you're seeing on the YouTube video here, this is Krill from Another Crab's Treasure, which is, I know I've talked about a few weeks ago. It's a Souls-like game that's an indie, and it's fantastic. So apparently they got approval for Krill to be in this game. And I just kind of wanted to start a little conversation of, like, you know, Mario Kart's great, right? About, you know, it's easy to bring over like kind of indie games into like a Mario Kart scenario. I think it would also be really cool. Indie game Mario Party would be awesome. The mini games could be really interesting. But I just kind of wanted to start a discussion with you, Tom. Like, what do you think about this? What characters would you like to see? And what other games do you think could be adapted to kind of have that indie game character list?
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty cool. I mean, we definitely talked quite a bit about Framemakers, you know, coming out of PAX East and kind of that idea, and we've seen it a little bit elsewhere. You know, we see what's the name of the character from Dead Cells, the Nameless, the Headless, something like that.
Headless, that is,
you know, kind of shown up in other games. And, like, you know, I like this idea, and I'm a big Mario Kart guy. I love Mario Kart, right? It's like one of the games where actually, like, if I sit down with friends, I feel like, all right, you know, competitive here. You know, I sit down with some people playing Smash Bros. I'm like, I'm out of my depth, you know? So I think, I mean, the next logical, if we're looking at like party games, multiplayer kind of stuff, the next logical step I would say is let's get a Mario Party indie game thing.
Yeah.
Right. That'd be really cool because you get to build these really cool maps and these game boards with the different indie game worlds, as well as just picking the characters. They wouldn't really do much, I mean, unless you took a new spin on Mario Party. So I think that would be pretty sweet. What about you?
Yeah, no, definitely Mario Party right out of the gate. They announced a new one today, which is awesome too. I forget the name, but it's like Super Mario Party. Whatever. It's the biggest Mario Party. I honestly
play with 20 people, right?
Yeah, it's got like 20 player modes that you can do, which is pretty awesome. Honestly, like, the only thing that really comes to mind is like Mario Party. Obviously, you could do like maybe like Mario Tennis and things like that. But at the end of the day, you're just playing tennis. It doesn't really matter, right? Like the characters that you're using, I guess. But yeah, I love to see this. I don't know if this is going to be like a new... Oh my God, I'm burping so much right now. This is like ridiculous. I don't know if this is going to be a new... Yeah, clip it. I don't know if this is going to be a new trend or anything, but I just really like the idea of, like, you know, we talk about Framemakers. You know, it's such a good way to promote those indie games too, right? Because people, when they play these types of games, they get attached, even if there's no real major difference. I know there isn't in a game like Smash, but let's say Mario Kart, right? I am a Lakitu player. I will play Lakitu till I die, all right, in Mario Kart 8. there's not really a huge advantage to using him. I know there's like technically different weights with some of the characters, but at the end of the day, it's really just like, you know, when you're playing with friends, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. So I just think it's such a cool idea to introduce indie games into like the Mario Kart space, because then people will become attached to those characters, even if they've never played those games before, right? Like, there's no Lakitu game out there. I just know he's the guy that floats on the cloud and picks you up out of the, you know, when you fall off the course, you know? Like, I just think that's really awesome. So I could see people, like, just for the example with Krill here, like, being attached to just always playing Krill, and then maybe one day looking up, oh, what is Krill from? Oh, another Crab's Treasure. I should probably check that out. So I just think it's a really neat way to kind of intertwine indie games and just like popular kind of formats for games. But yeah, I would love to see Mario Party. I think that's like the next logical step there.
Yeah, it'd be pretty sweet. Now, in terms of rather games going into new games, what about different evolutions of games, like Valheim is getting a board game? This is probably something exciting for you.
It is. Yeah, I saw this pop up today, actually, and there is a it's called gamefound.com. It looks like it's kind of like maybe a Kickstarter sort of style site where basically you'll be able to follow this project and, you know, support it monetarily. But yeah, Valheim, the board game, coming out by Mood Publishing. It says that it's a 1-4 player co-op board game where teamwork and strategy are key to survival. Gather your fellow companions and venture forward to explore, build, collect resources, forge weapons, battle enemies, and carve your path towards summoning the ultimate evil. So yeah, I don't know. It seems cool. I mean, I'm a big Valheim fan. It's a game I put a lot of time into, and it's just a lot of fun. But I'm also very interested because, you know, the core of Valheim is it has procedural generation, right? Like how can that be translated to like a board game, where maybe every time you play it, it's a little bit different, right? Maybe the layout's different. You know, maybe it's like kind of got that Catan sort of feel where like it's a different kind of layout every time you play almost. I hope it's not just a Catan clone, because I think we have enough of those. But yeah, I'm just excited that, you know, a game, an indie game that I love is kind of exploring a new medium. And I'd love to see this for some other indie games as well.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, I think Slay the Spire just came out of the Kickstarter. Slay the Spire, the board game. You know, I saw somebody on Reddit actually printed up and made and has a like a printable version of Balatro that you can play, which is pretty nuts. Which is kind of funny. That one's probably not going to ever be like a real board game, but like I guess it could be. Who knows? But you know. I love seeing this kind of stuff because I love board games, and you know, I think Valheim has a lot of kind of like potential here, you know, as a board game, because you know, especially in the co-op space, which kind of what it sounds like it's going to be, you know, you kind of there's a game I'm blanking, I think it's called Nemesis, which is one of my favorite co-op games, you know, that like I guess Pandemic, but like Nemesis is like one of those huge ones, like where you're all on a ship. And like basically the plot of Alien is happening, and you all have to like try to escape the ship. Maybe one of you is actually infected and stuff like that. So like stuff like that is almost like always like a good time. And like usually people don't get too butthurt during those kind of board game nights, unless somebody's like, well, why'd you do that? We would have won, you know.
Yeah,
it happens a little bit less in board games than it does like when you're, you know, Apex Legending or something like that. But you know. But it seems sweet. I'm all for it. Board games are great. Sometimes they can be tough to take off, and a lot harder to design in a way that actually, you know, provides like a pretty fun experience, especially if you're coming from video games. But
yeah,
I'll be interested to see what they have anyway.
Yeah, one thing definitely about the Valheim developers is like, you know, they're not that they're developing this board game, you know, it's obviously it's by Mood Publishing, but you know, they obviously have like a good amount of input into the game. Is they take their time. They're a very small team. They don't come out with a lot of updates really, you know, and when they do, they're usually pretty large updates. I know Mistlands is a big one that took a while to kind of come out, that people were really looking forward to. So if they're treating the board game the same way as they treat their game, where they're being very methodical and thoughtful about, you know, the updates that they're making and the gameplay loop, I think it could be a pretty solid game overall. But we really don't have any more information other than like a little like 10-second teaser and like a picture basically of the game, so, or of the cover art. So we don't even know what it'll look like at the end of the day, but I'm excited to see kind of what else they reveal here.
Yeah, they showed like a little mini, which looked cool. I mean, but yeah, like it could be anything, right? So yeah, pretty exciting. Now, Questmaster, let's figure out what the heck this game is, because, you know,
let's do it.
We've talked about it. You got to play it. I'm excited to play it myself at some point. But it is, you know, here's the blurb that is provided. Questmaster is a dungeon maker inspired by classics that first made us love dungeon crawling. For example, Legend of Zelda, which also just had a new game revealed today on the Switch Direct. Unleash your imagination alone or in local co-op to make dungeons full of puzzles, traps, and monsters. Upload them for others to explore and challenge yourself with other players' creations. Now, this is already something that I'm interested in. I loved Mario Maker, right? I was more on the play the custom level side of Mario Maker rather than the design side, but that's the beauty of that game, is that it has both. So let's kind of figure out, does this match that game's freak? You know, if I were to say so.
Yes.
Hit me with the gameplay.
Yeah.
Are you going to match my freak, Maddie? I just want to know.
So. Oh, I'm matching the freak. I'm getting real freaking naughty. You a naughty freak? All right. That's a little shout out to Dodgeball. yes, this game is like absolutely the kind of like reincarnation of Mario Maker, but for Zelda. And I also went into this game really just caring about playing other people's dungeons, you know, which maybe is a little selfish, right? Like I'm just like expecting people to be able to build interesting dungeons, but they're, you know, those are kind of the two different player bases. So yeah, when it comes to gameplay, there's kind of two different aspects of it, right? Like playing the levels and also making the levels. So I started out just playing the levels. Just an FYI, this is early access. It's on Steam and it's $20 on Steam. It has a free demo as well. The free demo, I don't think, includes being able to play other people's levels. It did for a short time during the Steam Next Fest, but I think they basically locked that behind, you know, being able to purchase the game, which makes sense. But you can still make levels, I believe, and there might be a little bit. Maybe they give you a few kind of like, you know, placeholder levels that you can check out. And it also apparently will be coming to console, all three of the major consoles, PS5, Xbox, and Switch, which is great. And it is developed, I believe, by Julian Kreutz and Sky Devil Palm. So two people, I believe, have developed this game, which is really impressive, and published by Apogee Entertainment. But yeah, as far as the gameplay goes, I am in love with the overall gameplay here. Just, well, let's talk about just playing first, and then we'll get into kind of making the dungeons. So it's very, you know, inspired by like A Link to the Past, those old school kind of Zelda games. Everything from, you know, we'll talk about the sound and all that, but even the sound is like reminiscent of Zelda. But overall, you know, the puzzles were interesting that I played. People are super creative with their levels. I played a few different levels that were, one of them was like a lottery. So it wasn't even really like a dungeon. You know, people were getting like pretty creative with like these levels where, you know, you basically play this lottery and then it gives you like a random item. And then you can kind of like continue through, you know, the rest of the dungeon there, which is kind of interesting. And then I played another one. This is my absolute favorite one that I played so far, at least, where basically you enter a room. There's a bunch of different enemies in there. It's usually just one enemy type. So let's say the first room is a bunch of bats. Kill all the bats, and then you get presented with two different items. When you choose one of the items, you can't pick up the other item. It disappears. And then you have to move to the next room, kind of rinse and repeat, kill those enemies. They're going to be a different type. gives you two different items. You have to choose one of those. So it's really like the first time I went through it, I was like, oh man, like I chose the wrong items. You know, like I died. I had to get reset back to the beginning. So that was really interesting. It was almost kind of like a rogue-like experience almost in a way, but not, you know, every time you play it, it's still those same two items that you get presented with. So it's not really like randomized every time. But yeah, the gameplay is fantastic. It's like exactly what you would kind of expect from like an old school Zelda game. And it really just kind of depends on the creator that you're playing. They actually just recently updated. They kind of have like a lobby browser, and they just updated it to include like completion time. So you can like be like, oh, like some of them are like 30 minutes. Those are the ones I'm like, all right, I'm not going to play that for right now. Some of them are 5 minutes. I'm just like, oh, I'll hop in there and try that out. So I think that was a great little kind of quality of life update. And I think that it really helps with like, you know, oh, I have a little bit of time to play some Questmaster. Let me just choose like one of these smaller kind of dungeons that someone made versus like, you know, a longer one. And before they didn't have that. So you didn't really know how long these dungeons were going to be. Yeah. So overall, it's just really fantastic experience with the gameplay side of things. I guess I should like take a step back too and let you know that before you even get into these levels, we're actually seeing it on screen right now. There is there's kind of like this typical Zelda world, like town that you start in, where it goes and teaches you, you know, how to use your sword. And then there's like a little kind of shop that you can kind of go to, which I haven't really figured out how that works yet. I haven't been able to buy anything. Every time I talk to that shop person, he doesn't say anything. He just kind of has like three little dots there. So that might be something that's kind of in the works because it's early access. And then there's another shop that's kind of the lucky shop where you go every now and then and they let you open up like a random chest that's in there. And then you can get an item out of that. So that's kind of cool. And then, yeah, that's really it when it comes to the town that I saw. I'm sure there'll be more expansions with that. And then you kind of have like a little board that you can walk up to. And that's where you're able to choose whether, you know, which dungeon you want to hop into. And then there's another option to also go create a dungeon if you want to do that. So, yeah. But overall, I mean, I was very happy with like the way the lobby browser works. You can filter by like what's trending right now, like top dungeons. You can look at new dungeons. I do wish they maybe had a little bit more filtering options. Like I'd love to be able to filter by, I want to play a dungeon that's like in the forest area because there's kind of different themes that you can have for the dungeons. I want to play a dungeon that's like in like the lava kind of area. So I'm sure that they'll add that at some point. But yeah, overall, I mean, the gameplay, just think of old school Zelda, and that's basically what this game is. you know, it's got all those same mechanics. You know, you got your boomerang, you got a little spectral lantern so you can kind of see things that are hidden. You have bombs. You know, it's very, very similar to Zelda. You got your sword and your shield that you can have. And yeah, it's just a good time overall. Like, and shout out to Game Informer. That's the gameplay that we're watching right now. So if you see that logo pop up there, shout out to them for having this gameplay up on YouTube for us to show. But it's the play side was a great time. And I always find myself when I hop into the game doing something new, doing something that I haven't really done before. And there's a little Game Informer ad there. We'll just go back, show a little bit more gameplay. But overall, the play side of it was great. Now I'll just stop there for right now, Tom, because I'll get into the making side of it. But
I do have some questions.
Yeah, any questions?
Yeah. I mean, any of that? It seems really sweet. Like, right, pretty straightforward. Like the kind of dungeon gameplay from the Zeldas, the top-down Zeldas specifically. Mm-hmm. In terms of like choosing these dungeons, are you finding a nice wide variety of kinds of dungeons and like people doing some really cool stuff?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, there's obviously always like dungeons you hop into and you're like, this is stupid. You know, like this took me like a minute to beat. And, you know, it's just people kind of messing around, I think, with the maker. So I think, you know, as time goes on, the quality of those dungeons will go up because those other ones will kind of get weeded out. there is a liking system. So I the more that you like a dungeon, I think it rates it higher, on that kind of lobby browser there. I'm finding a decent amount of variety in terms of like difficulty and also just in terms of like what the actual gameplay is. Some of the dungeons are more about exploring, right? Some of them are more about defeating waves of enemies. Some of them are also, there's different tags you can have on those dungeons. Some of them don't have boss battles. Some of them, it'll tag it as a, like there's a boss battle in this one at some point. You can also tag it as like traditional. So if you're trying to, like someone recreated the Shadow Temple from Ocarina of Time.
Oh, wow.
To the best of their ability, right? But, so they mark that as like traditional. If like someone who's looking to play like a, older school kind of Zelda game, you can like go ahead and check that out. So, yeah, there's definitely a good amount of variety. Like I said before, there's like, I played someone that was like a lottery. Like people are getting a little weird with it where it's like, it's not really like a dungeon, it's just kind of like just messing around with a few different mechanics in there. One thing I do want to do personally, and I'm still trying to figure out how to do this on the maker side, because I've only experimented with it a bit, but I would love to actually do like a roguelike dungeon where every time, maybe you enter a room, you're presented with like two random items. You choose one and then you move to the next room, defeat all those enemies. And then you're, maybe given two other random items. And every time you play it, it's something a little bit different. So that's something I'm trying to work on, and I'll share that, I'll put it in the Discord if I do end up making it, in case anyone wants to play it. But yeah, absolutely. Good amount of variety. Like I said, you can have the different themes. And honestly, the maker side of things is like, it's decently flexible. I think there's still some work to do in terms of like maybe setting up some cool custom logic. But you could set up some pretty basic conditions of like, when you hit this button, this happens, like kind of basic stuff from like the old school Zelda games. But I think it could be extended a little further. They do have a roadmap with a lot of stuff that they're planning to do on their Steam page. So they're going to be adding like more themes, more mechanics, more enemies, updating that kind of town area that I mentioned. And they are planning a full 1.0 release in Q4, which isn't really, too far away, right? We're almost in Q3. So, and they're actually planning a single player campaign too with side quests. So I'll kind of adds to that value there as well. Overall, to answer your question, good amount of variety, I'd say, from what I've played so far.
Yeah, I mean, it seems really awesome. I mean, like the builder seems really cool as well. We're kind of watching a little bit of it now. I guess like you kind of are in the dungeon as you're building, and then you can kind of mess around with it, which is pretty sweet. Is there anything, like obviously it's early access, we're going to get 1.0 in Q4. Looking at that like village, is there anything like if you get an item from the store, do you get to bring it into these random things?
So there's a and this is something I'm trying to still figure out, but the shop that you go to has like different rings basically that you can wear, and then you can bring those into the dungeons to help you with certain things. I only have like the starter ring, and all it says is like, oh, basically the shop owner gave it to you. So it doesn't really have any properties to it. It's just a ring that you can wear. But when you complete a dungeon, this is what I'm assuming is going to be happening. I have to, I have to look a little bit deeper maybe into their roadmap. I know they just released like a shop feature, but I haven't actually been able to like try that out in game. I haven't been able to find where it is. But how I imagine this works is that after you complete a dungeon, you basically, in order to complete the dungeon, in order for it to like pop up and say, oh, this was your time in the dungeon, now you can leave, you have to like collect like this crystal thing. There's like different types of crystals that you collect at the end of dungeons. And I imagine that that will end up being the currency that you can use in the shop. So kind of the more dungeons, or maybe really difficult dungeons or longer dungeons, have like more rare crystals at the end that you can then use at the shop. That's kind of how I'm viewing the shop like how it will be. But as of right now, I believe it's just rings that you can get that you can bring in there. I think they are planning to maybe add like maybe cosmetic related items of like, oh, you know, like change the way your character looks, change the way your sword looks. And then you can hop into the dungeon and look a little bit different. But I think they're also trying to make sure that, you know, the rings and the things like that, that you can bring into the dungeons don't kind of ruin the dungeon experience. Maybe there's certain dungeons that someone made and they're really happy with, but if you bring a certain ring in there, you can complete it in like, you know, a minute, you know, and they're, you know, I think they're just trying to make sure that they're balancing that sort of stuff. But yeah, unfortunately I haven't really been able to experience that myself. I've been trying to figure out how to get other rings, but every time I go talk to this guy, he doesn't want to talk to me. So I'm assuming it's just not in the game yet. Yeah, they also have a fantastic Discord, which I just joined earlier today. So I need to explore it more, but super helpful guides for building dungeons in there. Really great community for answering questions. So I'll probably need to dig into that a little bit more and try to figure out, you know, what the future plans are, but, yeah, it's good. It's good. The town area. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right, cool. I mean, it looks pretty awesome. And like, I like the idea of being able to kind of grind out these dungeons and like get some cool stuff to bring in. Something that is a different layer than like Mario Maker, right? You kind of just like the things you're grinding out are your skills and hopefully you get better. And I'm looking at the roadmap now. It is pretty vague. You know, you got July, there's going to be another town update. I think there's going to be different town updates throughout the path to 1.0, as well as some like new items and stuff like that, which is pretty cool. Now, you mentioned the first player story mode doesn't exist yet. I imagine there's no story to be talking about here.
Right. There's not really a story. You know, and that's the thing too, is that town area, there's not really a lot to do right now. Mm-hmm. It's kind of barren, and most of the game right now is just playing in that, you know, that lobby browser or making dungeons. But yeah, as of right now, not really a story. You can tell they're setting it up though. Like the characters are interesting. They do talk, you know, to you. They have some dialogue. You can even go talk to like some villagers and things like that. They have a little bit to say. So the potential is there, but yeah, there's not really a story in the game currently.
Yeah. And I wouldn't expect much, but the fact that they are planning on it seems pretty awesome to be honest. I wonder how they're going to pull it off though, because this is probably tough to do that, you know, but I guess it could be a way to get some cool way to unlock cosmetics. Like, you know, some people aren't really interested in the campaign, but like if my character gets a little like this, maybe I am interested in doing the campaign. So,
yeah.
Now in terms of looking, the art looks cool. I mean, from my perspective here, you know, how are the visuals, you know, while playing?
Yeah, it's great. It's truly reminiscent of like, you know, old school Zelda. I will say it's definitely, I think it's just because it's a more modern game. It has like way more like kind of vibrant colors and almost like it almost reminds me of the Secrets of Grindia that we had played a few weeks ago. Like it's given me kind of vibes of that, especially with like the character design. Things are a little bit like, this might sound weird, a little bit wider than like what I would expect in Zelda, like everything from the characters to like the items you get. But yeah, the art styles are fantastic. All the different themes for the levels are great. You know, you kind of have your desert sort of, sandy kind of levels. You have your kind of volcanic, you know, fiery sort of levels that look really fantastic. My personal favorite is the woods. It reminds me of like the Lost Woods from Ocarina of Time. That just looks great overall. And then, yeah, everything from, you know, the dialogue boxes look great. They always kind of highlight certain items that they're talking about when the dialogue boxes come up. So, you know, kind of what to look for. Not a lot of dialogue in the game in that town area, like I said, but there is a little bit there. And yeah, it's very, that was honestly something I was a little bit concerned about coming in before I really played it, because I did play the demo a few weeks ago, but I wasn't sure, you know, it's tough to build a game like this and have a kind of dungeon builder and then make sure that all the art, it's like easy to distinguish. Oh, okay, that wall is something I can blow up. Or, you know, these enemies are not blending into like any of these assets that we're letting people kind of throw into the game. So, you know, they did a great job with that. Like everything is super clear in the dungeons of like, oh, like you can, you know, it's kind of that Zelda feeling, right? When you enter a room, you're like, that thing does something. I don't know what it is yet, but that thing definitely does something. This game has the same feeling where you're like, that is something. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm going to figure it out. So from the visual side of things, they definitely nailed it there. And yeah, overall, it's, you know, it looks fantastic. One thing I will say is this is one of those cases where the cover art for the game is not a representation of what the game looks like. I know that happens pretty often, but the cover art is definitely more of kind of a, I don't know,
illustration.
Yeah, like they, you know, yeah, it's more of like a cartoon you'd see on like Cartoon Network or like Adult Swim, like it maybe Adventure Timey in a way, a little bit maybe, but so the game is more pixelated than the actual cover art, so just know that kind of going in. Doesn't really matter at the end of the day, but just figured I'd call it out because, you know, sometimes people just judge games based on the cover art. You know, we've seen that before with some other games. So yeah, but art style fantastic in this game. Yeah, excited to see what else they do. I know they're going to introduce new themes, new areas, things like that that you'll be able to check out. But yeah, it works really well. And then I'll also just like, I know we're going through our normal kind of gameplay story art. I'll talk about making dungeons at the end because I feel like this is more about like playing. You know, so just for the listeners to know, I will cover that kind of towards the end of my experience with actually making the dungeons. But yeah, let's keep it going, Tommy.
Yeah, I mean, what's next? The music, you know, coming off of, you know, obviously being inspired by Legend of Zelda, legendary soundtrack, legendary sounds, sound bites, yeah. You know, you mention all the time, you know, when you want a special, like when you unlock something or find a special chest or whatever in Zelda, you want more of that out of the games. Is it giving that in this game?
It is. Yeah, it's definitely, you know, everything from the way you swing your sword to opening up certain things, finding keys. It's all reminiscent of Zelda. It's got those little jingles in it. And it works really well. The only thing I would kind of knock with the game is that if I were to listen to this versus a Zelda soundtrack or Zelda sound effects, I probably wouldn't be able to be like, those are Questmaster sounds, which maybe they're not really going after that, right? They're obviously pandering towards the Zelda audience, which is great. You know, that's the reason I'm really playing the game. But it's not like super, I guess, original, I would say, at the end of the day. So I'm not going to be bumping this soundtrack, anything like that. But it works, you know, it works really well. And it's got the nostalgia. Like, that's what I think a lot of people are looking for with this game is like, does it bring the nostalgia factor and also let you build dungeons? And it does both of those really well. So yeah, it's Zelda at the end of the day, but it's also, yeah, it's just not super, you know, separate from what Zelda is. So gotcha. Yeah, it works well, but nothing to write home about, I would say.
You know, I look at something like this and think about how it is not Zelda. Does Nintendo look at this? And because they did Mario Maker.
Yeah.
Are they saying, God, we should do Zelda Maker now? Like, or do they, I mean, like, they're obviously doing a whole bunch of stuff right now. Like, maybe they're not even considering it, because if there's one thing about Nintendo is they want to do their thing and they don't want other people to do their thing. But do you think that happens?
Honestly, I was thinking about that when I saw that this game was planning a Switch release. I was like, I can't believe, first, I'm surprised that this exists anyway. Mm-hmm. But I am surprised that Nintendo would allow that on their shop because it is super similar. But they've done a really good job of, like, you know, it's different enough, you know, different names, different look, you know, where it's not, I feel like they'd have a tough time, like, legally, you know, getting it off the store, I guess. But as far as, like, Nintendo making their own Zelda Maker, I know it's been requested a lot. I think that they could view this game as a potential kind of testing ground, especially when it's on Switch and Nintendo's able to look at all that data of people that are playing it. And obviously they'll get more people playing something that has the Zelda branding on it. But then the question comes into play, right? There's a lot of different Zeldas, right? When you, let's say they create one based off of, you know, A Link to the Past, similar to like Questmaster, like that old school Zelda, they're going to have to try to include everything. You know, people are going to demand, right? Oh, I want this from, you know, I don't know, Four Swords. You know, I want the, you know, I want all these sort of things in there. They'll have to add in some multiplayer. This game has local co-op. I don't think you can play online. I think that's planned in maybe their Reach goals. But I think Nintendo would maybe have to do that, right? It would be kind of demanded because they've been able to do it with Four Swords, like on the Nintendo Switch Online shop. So, and even like the 3DS, I think they had that functionality too for Four Swords. So I think it's totally possible that Nintendo does this, but it also opens, you know, it's opens the floodgates, right? Of just like, will they be able to kind of keep up with it? I feel like Mario, you know, Mario obviously has a lot of different games, but I feel like Mario doesn't really change the types of enemies, right, that you kind of face. Like there are different ones, you know, there's obviously exceptions, but I feel like if you look at Mario from the beginning to now, you can like be like, oh, that's a chain chomp, like he's in all these other games, you know, or that's Bullet Bill, he's in all these other games. You look at Zelda and the enemies that are in, you know, Ocarina of Time or like Majora's Mask, like those spider things, you know, I don't think I've seen them in another Zelda game, you know? You know, so I just feel like Zelda, it just, yeah, it opens the floodgates. I'd love for them to do it. But I also, you know, as an indie game podcaster, just want Questmaster to get all that love, you know? So it's an interesting topic though. I'm not sure what will happen. But I, you know, you can never count Nintendo out, right? Like they could release it 10 years from now and it'll be a hit. Like it doesn't matter, you know? So it's just, we'll see what happens. But I do hope that Questmaster at least has a good head start, you know, where, you know, they get all that support on the Switch first.
Well, if I were to make any kind of prediction about that, it would be like they just announced the second kind of top-down Zelda that is in that almost chibi kind of amped up graphic, like I forget what it was, the Link to the Past,
Awakening,
Link's Awakening, and now this one where you can play as Zelda, which seems pretty cool, in the world of Link to the Past, I think people are confirming that the map almost looks exactly alike. It'll be a different story. If obviously Link's Awakening was very successful, if this is successful, I can see them doing the Zelda Maker, whatever, and they do what they do in like Super Mario Maker, where you can make the NES style, and then the Super NES, and then Game Boy, and then, you know, these Switch ones. That would be pretty sweet. But, you know, yeah, we want Questmaster. I mean, obviously, if that happens, I mean, Questmaster is a hit as well, because, you know, they had to kind of recognize that. Now, in terms of performance, how'd it go for you?
Yeah, it ran pretty well. I played it. I played it on my phone through the Steam Link app, actually, a bit. So I used controller for that, and I gotta say, like, even building dungeons using controller, they did a great job. You know, it worked pretty well overall. And then I played on Steam, just using like mouse and keyboard, or just really just keyboard. Ran really well. There are a few, like, you know, it's early access, so there's a few times where, like, you know, you might be clipping through like a door, right? You're not really like centered in the door as you kind of walk through, like weird things that you just kind of notice, like little graphical glitches here and there, but absolutely nothing that I played that ruined the gameplay experience or didn't allow me to progress through like a dungeon, which is really impressive, like letting people be able to build their own dungeons and then also making it so that none of that weird performance stuff happens. So yeah, overall ran really well. You know, it's a definitely a game that could run on Switch, you know, because it's even a game I could see running on mobile, to be honest. Just using your touchscreen to kind of build dungeons could be really satisfying, dragging pieces all over the place. But yeah, it ran well for me, so no problems whatsoever.
All right. Well, yeah, since I didn't play this game, I'm going to guess your rating.
Okay.
Based on who I know you to be and what you've said today, I think you're going to give it a... You might give it a certified fresh juice. What are you giving it? Well, first of all, our rating system goes from S tier to D tier, or S tier to D tier. Certified fresh juice, the best. A steal after that. Get on sale. Your B tier. C tier is manager special. And then finally, D tier spoiled milk. Matt, what do you give it?
Yeah, so I am giving this, in its current early access state, I'm giving it a steal.
Okay.
And I do think it could ascend to certified fresh juice. And the main reason I'm giving it a steal is because I really want that gameplay loop of completing a dungeon, getting some like credits or crystals, and then being able to like buy like cool cosmetics or whatever it might be. And it's just not in the game yet. I think that's, or at least I haven't been able to figure out how to do it. If it is in the game, tried Googling it, it's not popping up. So I'll have to try the Discord as well. But I really think like once they get that like single player campaign, side quests, and then, you know, the kind of maker part of it is fully fleshed out, this could easily be a certified fresh juice. Only reason I'm not giving it is because it's just not there yet. It's mm-hmm. It's super promising, but yeah, it's definitely a steal for me. Plus, I mean, basically a single player Zelda game at the end of the day with side quests, being able to make your own dungeons and play other people's dungeons for $20, that's pretty dang good. Mario Maker is like a full price game, right? So, or $50 maybe Mario Maker was, but regardless, just super good value there and tons of replayability for this one. So I hope the player count stays up. I hope when they release on console, there's maybe some crossplay that they'll be able to do and they can share those communities so that the, you know, the population doesn't die down, because that's obviously something that's going to keep driving the game forward. But yeah, it's definitely a strong steal from me.
Me too, because I am excited. Probably I'll get around to it. Maybe 1.0 and the Switch release sounds like something I would like to, you know, kind of play in bed and stuff like that. So pretty awesome. Now, next week we got Throne of Bone, a game that we did play at PAX East. We enjoyed quite a bit. So we're doing Throne of Bone next week.
Yeah, Throne of Bone.
We're going to be boning, you know, we're going to get a little wild next week. I'll tell you that much for free, but you know, it's going to be something else. Now we do have a couple listener questions and
just real quick. I just also want to cover the maker side of things. Just real quick. I don't have a lot to cover with it, but what I will say is like, essentially the way they have really great tools for how the maker side of Questmaster works, where everything is tile based, as you can imagine. So you're able to place tiles down easily. They have like a paint bucket tool. So you could be like, oh, I want this whole room to be sand. Just boom, whole room has become sand. You know, they have like kind of like that basic conditions and logic in there of like, hey, when you press this button, this sort of thing happens. They do that using shapes, actually. So you, when you go into editor mode, click on a button, choose like a square shape that it has there, and then choose, let's say, a door that's locked, choose that door, choose the square shape, and then those two things are automatically linked. So when you hit the button, the square shape thing opens, and then there you go. You can enter through that door. It does a really fantastic job of being able to go in and out of the editor pretty seamlessly. You can go add stuff in there and then just click play, and all of a sudden you're just in that dungeon. You're like, oh, that didn't really work. Boom, back to the editor. No problem. You don't have to load into like the play session, nothing like that. It just goes in and out, super seamless. And just overall, I mean, I was really impressed of how easy it was to build a dungeon using a controller. I figured when I was on my phone using the my little backbone controller that I have, that it was going to be a pain to try to build some dungeons, but it's not. They really make it easy. You kind of have your little collection, your little library of tiles that you can place down there, enemies, you know, all that sort of stuff. They're continuously adding to it too, which is great. I've already seen a few updates where they've added different types of items. Then they also have different types of coins that you're able to collect. For those who remember like the old school Zelda games where there'd be a certain puzzle and a bunch of coins would show up and you'd have to kind of run and get them. You'd have to just try and run and get all those coins to complete the puzzle. Similar to like Mario in a way, they have like sword coins and shield coins that you're able to get now. You know, you can easily hide things. So using that spectral lantern to reveal new things, like they just did a really fantastic job and made it super easy to understand of how to build dungeons. I will say it is much easier on mouse and keyboard to do it, but it's totally possible to do it on controller as well. And that's probably why, you know, they had to make that part good in order to get the console releases to even be a thing. So I think, yeah, overall, I mean, it works really well. You can copy pieces and easily place them elsewhere. You know, you can have moving objects. You can put like enemies inside of like mine carts and have them move. All you have to do is drag an enemy onto a mine cart. It puts it right in there. Wow. It's like super intuitive. You can easily erase things. That's probably a part that I think is just super cool. Is like, oh, I just accidentally placed that. Let me just like right click and boom, you just like erase it. No problem. Like you don't need to click on it and click like a trash can. You can literally just kind of paint over and erase things. You know, they have different, you know, a grid system you can use. You can set up the rooms to be like kind of different colored outlines. So, you know, which room you're editing and which room you're setting up these conditions for. It's got like a ton of great things in it. The thing I would like to see, though, I alluded to it earlier, is just maybe more logic. I think it could be really interesting if like even being able to maybe set up like game mode kind of rules at that level where like maybe when you join, you know, let's just say you start with one heart, right? Like things like that, that are not really about the dungeon itself, but just like the player that's going in there, being able to control things from that level, I think could be really interesting. People could create dungeons that are like one hit and you're dead sort of stuff, you know? And so things like that, that I think that they're probably going to end up working on. But really great job with the dungeon builder. I'm actually aching to get back in there and just play around with it and try to build that kind of roguelike mode that I was mentioning. It's super addicting. I'm actually finding it to be just as fun as playing the dungeons. And yeah, just wanted to put that in there as well for those of you who are interested in like making your own dungeons. Share them in our Discord as well. I'd love to check out some of your dungeons and try them out. And then who knows, maybe it'll be a good idea to, you know, to get the community together, you know, the juice heads and see, you know, maybe me and you, Tommy, cause you could do co-op dungeon building as well, which is really
cool. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So like, I'll be like, oh, Tom, you work on this room. I'm going to work on this room, you know, whatever it is. We build like the fresh juice dungeon. And then like, maybe the person with the fastest time by like the end of the week gets like, you know, they win something. You know, could be kind of cool. Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Yeah,
we could just build our studio in there.
Oh yeah, yeah. No one's ever getting out of that. So
no. That's awesome. Yeah. I like the idea of being able to build together too. I mean, like that's probably like, you know, I was never the build guy in Mario Maker or like Minecraft or anything like that. But like, it always was fun watching like videos of people on like Minecraft where they were like building stuff together. So that's a great feature to have. Sorry, I forgot that you wanted to talk about the
you're good part. I've been talking so much, so I'm gonna let you answer the listener questions first.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. I don't want to annoy the listeners, you know, so I apologize.
We do have listener questions which come from the Fresh Juice Discord. First one comes from Capolo, who asks, what makes you like or prefer indie games more than AAA games? Is it the price point or the ideas that would not make it to AAA games or something else? There's a couple reasons. So like, I feel like AAA games are typically tied into kind of like certain genres and certain art styles, right? I'm not like the realistic, you know, guy, like when it comes to video games. It's so weird. It's like the opposite for me with like TV shows. I'm not a cartoon guy, I like the, you know, real life stuff. But when it comes to video games, I like, you know, something a little bit more fantastical in terms of the vibe. And also like that, just ideas, you know, when there's so much money behind the development of a game, I feel like the risk taking is not there as much. I'm sure it still happens, but like, you know, when you're indie dev, you might take risk because you're like, I think this is really, really cool. And I hope that a lot of other people think that. So they're taking a risk by doing that. But, you know, sometimes you get like great things that happen out of that, that does resonate with a lot of people, like Norp Apolog, right? Who in their right mind in a AAA studio was like, no, we're not making that game. What are you talking about? Get out of this boardroom right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, that developer was like, you know, this sounds fun to me. I think other people are going to think it's fun. Did the thing and people loved it. So that's just kind of where I'm at with it. It's not that I have anything against AAA games. Like, you know, there's some AAA games I love, but indie games, just sometimes you just get the weird thing that's like feels a little bit more personal in a way.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. You know, I also think like for me, you know, indie games come out more often than AAA games that I'm looking forward to, at least those games I'm looking forward to. So I find myself getting more excited for indie games just because it's happening kind of more often. Now, obviously, we're playing a good amount of them for the show, but I also feel like if this was a show about AAA games, right, mm-hmm. the conversations would probably get pretty boring, you know, because it'd be like the same thing kind of over and over, and there probably wouldn't be a lot of games we get excited about. I'm thinking about last week with Haunty, right, a game that we had no idea about, you know, really prior to that. We loved it. Certified fresh juice, you know, like it's just I love that moment of like getting surprised by a game that you didn't know about 2 weeks ago, you mm-hmm. know, and now you're just like in love with it. So, yeah, I definitely think that indie games somehow get me like more excited because of those kind of magical moments that you sort of get. That you don't really get, you get them in AAA games. Like I'll be playing Elden Ring expansion this weekend and like I'm super pumped for it. But I feel like, you know, Elden Ring's a game, like a once in a decade sort of game, you know, mm-hmm. indie games, I'm getting gems like that, like way more often. So it gets me a little bit more excited. And yeah, I do think the price point plays into it a little bit, right? Like you're not spending as much on indie games, but there's also a lot of indie crap out there that is you know, you kind of need to weed through, so it's not always like related to the price for those sort of things. But yeah, I like both personally. Like I'm into AAA and indie games. It's just indie games get me a little bit more excited because I'm playing them more often, especially these days.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Cap. Yeah. Next question comes from K-more, who asks, have you guys realized that your two extremes on the rating system is exactly like Rotten Tomatoes, Certified Fresh, and Something Rotten / Spoiled? K-more. Do you think that Rotten Tomatoes was the first thing to create the idea of two extremes as a rating system? Listen, it just so happens we are a juice themed podcast. Certified Fresh. Fresh Juice is the name of the podcast. Certified Fresh Juice just makes more sense. Sure, we took a little bit from Rotten Tomatoes in terms of inspiration there. Kind of. It's not the first time that something certified has been the best thing. And then Spoiled is different than Rotten. Thank you very much. Spoiled is tied to just bad milk and like other stuff like cheese, like dairy products. I'm thinking a lot of dairy products.
Yeah.
I think a rotten, I just think of a tomato, right? And another thing, we are giving individual ratings here, right? We keep tabs of where we're at, but each of us give an individual rating. When I give you a certified fresh juice, that is my certified fresh juice. If Matt gives you spoiled milk and I give a certified fresh juice, guess what? That's what those ratings are.
It's been a crazy episode.
Yeah, it would be. We would be screaming at each other. This is, I mean, that will happen eventually.
Yeah.
If this was Rotten Tomatoes, okay, Martin, I know you're not saying that we're Rotten Tomatoes, but if you're going to bring Rotten Tomatoes in here, I'm gonna make the comparison. If we were Rotten Tomatoes, you know what the game would be? If I gave it certified fresh juice and Matt gave it spoiled milk, it would be a get on sale, because Rotten Tomatoes is an aggregate rating system, which, first of all, is not a good rating system, especially for film, because, well, first of all, it is very subjective. And, you know, just like what we're doing here, and people make assumptions about films based on the Rotten Tomatoes. Sure, if a lot of people don't like it, it might not be good. But sometimes a lot of people are wrong. Anyway, that's my little rant, K-more. And I'm sure that we'll get more more questions about our rating system down the line. It's not changing.
Yep. And, you know, this is where you also found out how passionate Tommy is about rating systems and hating Rotten Tomatoes aggregate system. Does that mean you're also not a fan of Metacritic? Do you ever look on Metacritic for things?
So it's kind of funny. I think Metacritic is typically a more accurate representation, but it's still aggregate, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it's just a little bit different. And then also Rotten Tomatoes, the reason I have more of an issue with Rotten Tomatoes is because someone can give a so-so review of a film, and they can interpret it however they want. And then they decide if that was a fresh or a rotten, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if they're giving it a 50%, Rotten Tomatoes is like, you know what? Disney's giving us money. We'll give that a fresh. It'll look better for the aggregate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Also, I know, because we've talked about this before, like, the original inspiration was from Spill.com.
Yeah,
wasn't
Spill.com.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Spill over tomatoes any day.
Shout out Spill.com. Double toasted. Last question comes from RCarp11, who asks, dine in or take out?
I'm a takeout guy. You know, I like, Maria and I will often, you know, we set up our little like tables by the TV. We get our takeout and we fucking watch, like, we've been watching like Sons of Anarchy. Okay. But I also do like, it depends where I'm dining in. Like, if I'm like, I don't want to go to a place that's like right down the street and like dine in, I'm like not into that. But if it's like a place I've never been to before, I want to dine in first before I decide to ever take out, just because I want to get that experience. But I like dining in. It's just, I don't know. I just find it more convenient these days to just take out. I can be in my air conditioned house. You know, I can control everything. I can pause the movie, you know, or whatever, you know. I find that to be what I like. But what about you, Tommy?
This is a tough one. I think, like, if I'm alone, it's takeout, right? But I truly like the eating out experience. It is
really?
It's one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah. Who asked this question?
I like dining dining in or whatever. I like going out to eat. And I love like going to a nice BYO, maybe like a nice Italian restaurant. You bring a couple bottles of wine and you just kind of like, you kind of like hang out and like talk and stuff like that. I like the experience.
Yeah.
But certain kind of foods are not kind to that. Right. And there are better foods that are like way better, certain. And then also there's foods that aren't kind to take out, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to go get like a burger and fries and take it out, really. I want it as fresh as possible. But like Chinese, Indian, pizza, a lot of the times that is a good takeout food. Although I like pizza eating in as well, or dining out as well. So
yeah,
it's a tough one. But I would say like I get excited to go out to dinner. So I would have to say that. Where takeout is more of like I'm shoveling food into my face. And I don't know. Great question.
Yeah, I think what it is too, like for us, like if I'm going out with like the boys or like it's an event, I'm like, I'm excited to go out. Yeah. But like if it's just a it's like a Tuesday. Well, today's Tuesday. If it's like a Tuesday, it's after work. I'm like, I don't want to leave. Like I'm exhausted from the work day. Even though I've been in the house all day, I just want to stay home. And so and then, you know, Maria comes home. She doesn't want to go out either. So we just kind of bunker down at the house. So, yeah, it depends. It does depend, though. Like I you know, I wouldn't bring certain foods like for takeout, you know, but. Or even like delivery. Let's just say that there's also a whole different aspect with that. Like I'm getting like soup delivered. I don't know. Or like,
well, I don't know. Wonton soup maybe.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Yeah. I mean, you know, it depends. Like, like Maria got Panera delivered and I was like, oh man, like, cause she was saying it was coming in a bread bowl. I was like, they're going to deliver in a bread bowl. They do it separately. Yeah. I'm an idiot. but I was like, that's crazy. Also, I just need to point out, too, because I just noticed this, and I almost just started laughing. I had a message on Discord from you, Tommy, from earlier. But I thought, I just saw your name. I thought it was about the show. I was like, oh, God, he's going to tell me, like, oh, my mic's too loud or something like that. And I open it up, and it just says, this is for the listeners, all right? It says, finishing a turd and be on in a second. Be on in a second. And it was at 3:57. And that is funny because I was doing the same thing. That's when I texted you. I was like, I'm going to be a few minutes late. But I just almost died laughing because I was like, oh, this is about the show or whatever. And I just read it and I'm like, it's not about the show.
It was kind of about the show.
Oh, true. It was. Yeah, it was. But I wanted to share that.
Yeah, well, there you have it, folks. There you have it. Thank you for the listener questions. That's the end of the show, which means it's time for the Rec Room, where we recommend something that perhaps isn't an indie game. And what do you have to recommend this week?
Yeah, so I'm actually recommending an indie game. And shout out to Kmore, actually, for showing me this on my last stream on Twitch. It's this game called Aloft. So it's pretty much right up my alley. If anyone's into like kind of sandbox, co-op sandbox survival games, this is a really cool concept. So there's a free demo on Steam. It's coming out in Q3, so hopefully soon. The demo does have multiplayer as well, but the best way I can describe it is like it's just a co-op survival game that takes place like in the sky. Think of like Skyward Sword, floating islands. You have a glider. You can fly whenever you want. The movement is fantastic. You kind of just jump up, fly. Go from island to island, and then you know, you're crafting things, you're kind of building a little base on certain islands, you're exploring, defeating some enemies here and there. But the cool part is you can actually take any island and turn it into like an airship. So you can I found like a little floating island, put like a little sail on it, a wheel, things like that. All of a sudden I'm driving an island around the map, picking up things. And it's just a good time. There's no PvP or anything like that. It's a very chill game. Kind of has like a Sea of Thieves art style, which I'm really into. It's like very, you know, kind of that cartoony sort of stuff. But yeah, really a game that I had never heard about. It's published by Funcom. So they've made like Conan Exiles and a few other like survival games that some people like. But this one was cool. So I recommend, you know, check out the demo if you are interested in trying out some multiplayer. I only played solo, but the demo having multiplayer is pretty cool. Usually demos don't have multiplayer. So if anyone's interested, you know, let me know. But Aloft is the name of the game, A-L-O-F-T. And yeah, it's cool. It's a cool concept. You know, it's a very chill game. And honestly, I just like flying around endlessly and just like landing on islands, exploring and jumping and flying off. I feel like a superhero. It's an awesome game. So shout out to Aloft.
Is your house in the game like a studio or is it like Aloft?
Yeah. I guess you could technically, I guess you could build a loft in a loft. Cool. There you go.
Oh my God. The game I'm actually recommending an indie game as well. It's called Heretic's Fork. This is a game I messed around with a little bit on the plane to Minneapolis. It is a deck builder roguelike tower defense where you are like basically you're basically tasked. You work for this company that's tasked with preventing sinners from escaping hell, and so you're building these towers or like upgrading towers on this like the exit of hell, and you know, every so often you'll get presented with new cards to add to your deck. You can combine cards to do stuff like that and like upgrade your towers. It was pretty fun. It was like pretty silly, almost like because you can kind of not pay attention as much because, you know, there is some stuff that you can like kind of interact with during the tower defense stuff, but you can also activate it as like it doing it automatically. So it was cool, you know. You know me, yeah. Roguelike deck builders, big old fan. But that's going to do it for the show, folks. We are Fresh Juice, as always. You can find me on Twitter at Fresh Bud.
At Fresh Buds Pod.
I have another podcast called Fresh and Buds where I talk about the Flesh and Blood game we talked about at the beginning of the show. You can follow us on all socials at Fresh Juice Pod. And Maddie, where can people find you?
Yeah, check me out at Maddie Gorm. I've been making some YouTube videos. I'm focusing in on Once Human. I know I mentioned it in some shows before, but I've taken off of work for launch. So I'm going all in and I'm excited to keep it going. But yeah, check me out at Maddie Gorm, G-O-R-M, on all the socials.
Well, that's going to do it, folks. Questmaster, next week, Throne of Bone, we're going to be boning. Stay fresh.